How do I want to do this? Let's see. How many of you just had a? Okay, here we go. So, how many of y'all have just had a rough week? Just to be honest, you just say my week has been just tough, All right, I saw your hand first. So I have a pair of socks for my Crushing It series. And this is a pair of socks, and actually on the socks, it has a picture of Jesus getting baptized, you know, and the Holy Spirit descending on him. This is an actual photo of the actual event. But I thought it was good because but the title of our series is Crushing It, right? And on the heel and on the bottom of the shoe, on the sock, it says, Stomp the Serpent Daily. And that's on the bottom of your shoe. So I'm going to give it to you as a reminder. So this next week, you're going to stomp the serpent daily. Amen? Amen? So, but you have to wear it every day. So I'm just kidding. No. So we're teaching on crushing it. Everybody say crushing it. So we are talking about that. And we are just believing God that through this series that you are going to experience some amazing breakthrough in your life. And you're going to experience a time where God, you're just going to crush it. Like those things that have held you back, those things that have tormented you, and those things that have caused you to be less than what God's made you to be, we're believing God that those things are going to be broken over you. Amen? Amen? And God has called you for an amazing purpose, and the enemy hates you. Amen? And so that's fantastic. So he can just hate me all he wants, and whatever I can do to make him hate me more is all right with me. And you say, oh, you shouldn't say that. No. Because remember, not to me, you don't, devil. Right? Amen? And so so we're talking about crushing it. And so we talked about how in the prophecy in Genesis, where it talks about the serpent, he says that there'll become a day where it's talking about the prophecy of Jesus, even back in the garden. He says where that child will crush your head. He's talking about the devil. So we're talking about how the devil, his head has been crushed. And so we know that actually we are not the one who's doing the crushing, but it's already something that Jesus has done, and through on the cross, that through him and through his name, we can crush it. Amen? And so that's what we're trusting God for. But there's different ways that he operates, and so we're kind of teaching on these along these lines. And so let's just pray before we get started. God, I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear, God, what you would have us to learn this morning. And Father, I pray, God, that this wouldn't just be information. God, I pray for it to be revelation so that we can be transformed, so that we can have a transformation, God. Transform us, God, into the image, the victorious image of Jesus. And God, we thank you. And devil, we put you on notice that there'll be no pushback. And God, we thank you, God, that we have the victory through Jesus. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked about a couple of weeks ago that every story has a villain. We have, you know, there's Darth Vader, right? And you have the Lord of the Rings, right? Where Sauron and Saruman are the enemy and the villains. And we talk about that. We talked about the fact that every story has a villain. And we talked about the hero's journey. In every story, there's the hero's journey, if you're a writer or if you're a lover of fiction. Every story has a hero's journey because yours has a hero's journey. There is a villain in our stories because there's a villain in your story. And we write it out of a place that we understand the villain, right? And Revelation chapter 12 says this in verse 17. It says, Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Who is the writer talking about there? Those who keep the commands and hold fast to the testimony of Jesus. That's you and me. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Bible says he's the enemy, the devil, Satan, is out to wage war on you. And we talked about the fact that, you know, I don't even know if we've said this, but the truth is, you know, I don't want this reality. Like, you know, I don't want this reality. Like, nobody really wants this reality. Wouldn't it be great if this wasn't the way it was? But this is the world that we've been born into. This is the area, this is the life that we've been born into. And we can't just, you know, we can't just stick our heads in the sand and pretend that this just doesn't happen, right? And not only that, if we don't understand that there is an enemy and that we have a battle to fight, then we'll misinterpret a lot of what goes on in the world. We'll just go, well, you know, that's just, you know, I don't know what you think about God if you don't understand that there's an enemy. Because there's a lot of terrible things that happen to amazing people, right? And if you don't have that understanding that there's a devil out there, and the Bible says he is furious with you. He uses the words that he is filled with fury. And like I've said every single Sunday morning, happy Sunday. Tell him I'll be right with him. And one of the weapons that he uses is he uses the weapon of, I'm not here. He whispers that in, I'm not here. All this stuff is just, it's really maybe even a source of just because of you. Because you're just a terrible person and nothing happens good for you. And nothing, you know, and it's not me, this devil would say, it's not me. Matter of fact, it's you. Right? And it's me. And then he causes us to wage war against each other, right? And fight and bicker against each other. And we talked about the fact that we need to have a clear perspective of what's going on. But the good news is 1 John 3, in verse 8, it says, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil because he has been sinning from the beginning. For this reason, the Son of God appeared, was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus on Calvary destroyed or crushed the devil's work. The word destroy there means to loose, to unbind, to unravel, and dissolve. Jesus came to loose, unbind, unravel, and dissolve the devil's work. So how does the devil operate? How does he do all these things? And how does he incorporate, quote unquote, his will in earth? He does it through these things called footholds. Foothold. Everybody say footholds. And this is just a matter for review. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. We talked about this really last week. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. The word foothold means this, a place for providing support for the foot in climbing or standing. It also means this, a firm or secure position that provides a base for further advancement. See, the devil wants to get a foothold in you and in me, so that he can provide a place in you and in me for further advancement against you and me and the people around us. That's how the enemy works. He works on a, and I just got to hurry, he works on the premise of permission. He works on the premise of permission. That's really important for us to understand. That you can give, yes, you're born again, you're spirit-filled, you love Jesus, absolutely. You can. He's writing this scripture to Christians. Thank you, Jessica. He's writing, I'm just going to preach over here. Okay, so he's writing the scripture to Christians like you and me. You can give the devil a foothold by the permission that you give him in your life. Happy Sunday. So we talked about last week, and it was so amazing. Y'all were so full of energy last week, and it was so amazing when we talked about sin and how through sin, you can give, I am a terrible liar. You can give, the devil, listen, this is really, you can give the enemy a foothold in your life through sin. Through repetitive, thank you. This is loud, y'all are louder than last week. So you can give the enemy foothold, right, in your life because through sin in your own life. Like you are giving him permission, right, to have a foothold. And we talked about how that sometimes that foothold brings shame with it. Yeah, I mean, just impractical. Like, how does he advance? Like, you sin, and all of a sudden that shame comes, right? Self-loathing. And then somebody triggers that with their mouth or with their words. They trigger that shame. And a lot of times it's or anger erupts, right? Relationships get broken because of shame. You see how this works? The enemy gets a foothold to launch other attacks in your and your family and your friends' lives. That's how the enemy works. And So this morning, I want to talk about another way that we can give the enemy, or the enemy can get a foothold in our lives. And that's through this. It's through agreements. It's through agreements. 2 Corinthians 10, it says, For we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. We said this actually last week. Let me just stop for a minute. We said, you cannot wage a spiritual war by natural means, right? That's why mind over matter stuff doesn't work, right? You have to battle spiritual forces with spiritual things, right? With your spiritual war. And that's what Paul's saying here. The weapons that we fight are not weapons of this world, or other translations say are natural. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. The idea here is that you can actually gain strongholds by what you think in your mind. How you think in your mind can develop strongholds. And actually, we'll use those words strongholds and footholds, if you will. I know there's some differences, but we'll use those interchangeably a little bit this morning. But in those strongholds, or in those footholds, if you will, then the devil can launch his attacks. And he does it a lot of times through our thinking, how we think. He says, listen, he says, there's thoughts and arguments that are going to come to you, right? And they're going to set itself up against the knowledge of God. And they can cause strongholds. And by the way, those weapons that we fight against them, they're not natural. Right? There's a lot packed into that scripture. So how the devil works is we know that he's a liar. Right? He's a liar. And John chapter 8 and verse 44 says this, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires." Don't you love Jesus? Like, you are your father, the devil. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. I like that translation. For he is the liar and the father of lies. Right? And in Genesis chapter 3, we see in the garden, the Bible says, Genesis 3 and verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say?'" How many times has the enemy spoken that into your mind? Did God really say? "You must not eat from the tree in the garden." The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from all of the trees in the garden. But God did say, 'You must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die.'" "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Just listen to the words of the enemy. Did God really say? Has God really said that? He's questioning the command of God, right? For God knows. Listen to what the enemy is doing. He's actually questioning. He's causing doubt. He's causing deception to come to Adam and Eve through the fact of he's questioning really God's heart. Isn't he? God's holding out on you. He's questioning the heart of God. Because God knows if you eat of that tree, you'll be like him. God's holding out on you. Right? It's deception. Deception. He's the father of lies. And the Bible calls the enemy, I'll just read this. In Revelation chapter 12, it's not on the screen, but Revelation chapter 12, it says that he's called the accuser of the brethren, right? And the Bible teaches that, like we just read, that he's the father of all lies. And listen, and if he wasn't good at it, right? Like, he wouldn't be called like the father of lies, like the accuser of the brethren, right? He would be called like the father of foolish suggestions, right? No, he's good at it, right? He's not the father of the lies that, you know, that wouldn't even, like, there's some things that, like, you're tempted with, or, like, that's not even a temptation, right? Like, David, you shouldn't eat, you know, mustard. That is not a temptation of mine, right? Yeah, there's not any mustard anywhere that I look at and go, oh man, I hate that stuff. That never happens, right? The enemy is the same way. He's really good at the lies he gives, right? And I want to show you how good he is. Let me just say this. I'm going to read these phrases to you. I want you to just think as I read them. Ready? God, and take this for yourself, God is coming through for you. What did your heart say about that? Did it say, yeah, he's absolutely coming through? Or did it say, I don't know. He's good, isn't he? What about this one? People like me. People enjoy my company. How about this? I will always have plenty. I am hopeful. I'm not dumb. I am not a disappointment. Those phrases are very exposing, aren't they? Just look straight ahead. You don't have to answer. They're exposing. God will come through for me. Well, he comes through for, like, David. And, of course, Julie he comes through for. You know. But not really me. Satan is a relentless accuser of the brethren, like Revelation 12 says. He accuses the children of God continually. He hates God and all that God is. He also hates God's, listen, he hates God's mercy, his compassion. He hates God's his forgiveness that's extended towards you. He hates it. Matter of fact, he's filled with fury against it. Satan stands as the accuser before God in an attempt to somehow lessen God's love for you and diminish God's mercy for you by agreements, by how we think. See, he wants those lies to become a foothold, because if he can give you that foothold in your thinking, he can limit. Listen, I don't know if you know it or not, but you're an image bearer. It wasn't just Adam and Eve, right? You're an image bearer of God. So when the enemy looks at you, he sees an image of God, right? Yeah. And when the enemy lies, he speaks words over us, right? How does he lie? There's a couple of ways he lies. Actually, there's multiple ways, but I don't have 3 hours. Unless you give me 3 hours, we'll talk about it. That was nervous laughter, that's what that was. Oh, dear Lord. My stomach is already growling. Why do you think we feed you before church, you know? How does he lie? One of the ways he lies through other people. He uses other people. And I want to use a personal example of this. When I was younger, I don't know if you know it or not, but I was not a real good student in high school. I know, it's shocking. But David, you're so intelligent. You're so smart. You're brilliant. But some of you go, oh, yeah, I could totally see that. Some of your teachers are like, oh, I know that. You're Iron. I know that student in my class. Lisa's probably going, I know that. I can tell you, I can point you to one of my kids in my class that I had this year. Like, that was me. Like, I was the bad kid, right? Also, I had a lot of trauma going on in my life, losing my father when I was 16. And so it really developed into a lot of stuff. And I remember, even before that, I was just, you know, and then they sent me to Christian school to fix me. I don't know if you know it or not. There's two different kinds of people in Christian schools. The people that are there, right, in Christian school because they love Jesus. And then there are other ones, the other half of the students in Christian schools that are there because their parents put them in there to fix them. I was one of those kids. And all the people that are there to get fixed, they're all hanged together, you know. Actually, no, I won't say it. Yeah, interesting. So, but it was a great overall. No, seriously, it was a great overall. Actually, I got born again. Well, I kind of rededicated my life several times. And yeah, anyway, well, let's just move on. Okay, so, but I was I was not a good student. I was not, like, school and me, we just did not, you know, like my son and my daughter, they're really smart. They make great grades and they're just, you know, and I'm like, thank God for Julie, you know, thank God for that gene pool. And, anyway, it's like, no, that's not an agreement. Leave me alone. Okay. But these are the words that my mom spoke. Listen, these are the words that my mom spoke. And she would speak them all the time. And it was out of compassion. It wasn't out of any anger. It wasn't out of any, it was a genuine desire to make me do better in school. And these words she would say, David, you gotta, you know, you need to, you know, buckle up or whatever she would say. And you need to, because you're closing doors on yourselves if you make these bad grades. Well, David, man, you know, you had another bad report card. You're just closing doors on yourself. You're closing doors on, you know. Was my mom's heart to ever go, you're never going to make it? Now, was my concern of my mom that I was never going to make it? Absolutely. But those words, listen to this statement, those words stuck. And I made an agreement that doors are shut for me. There are no open doors for me. That I don't have what it takes. That I'm not going to make it. There are no possibilities for me. Because those words stuck. They're well-meaning. My mom didn't mean anything by them. But the enemy grabbed those words and stuck them into my life. And I believed the accuser of the brethren that would speak that there's no opportunities for you. There's no hope for you. Matter of fact, this is your limit of your life. And those words stuck for a long time. And you and I, if we're not careful, there are things that can be spoken over you by well-meaning people, by well-meaning friends, parents, brothers and sisters, co-workers, a boss, and those words stick. And you believe those, and we call it, you just made an agreement with the accuser. And that agreement sticks, right? That agreement sticks into your life. Some of you, your worth and your value have been determined by what other people have spoken over you. Because you listened to those words. Because mom said you're just not as pretty as everybody else. It's unbelievable like what people say, even to their kids. Like it's unbelievable. Like can you imagine like the guy who the father's passing the business down to the son, right? and says things like, you're going to run this business into the ground. Toomp. Right? Those words stick. That boyfriend or that girlfriend says that thing over you. And all of a sudden, that's what you believe about yourself. I'm not worth fighting for. I'm not worth being loved. And those words stick. And I want you to understand, listen to me this morning. That may not be true. That may not be even from you. It was the words and the lie of the accuser to make you believe something about yourself that's not true because a word was spoken and it stuck to you. And it became a foothold in you. And now that unworthiness, it affects you in your marriage. It affects you in your relationships. It affects you on how you're able to interact with other people. I'm not good enough. People don't like me. And those words just stick. One of the greatest things that you can teach your teach not just your son, any young boy, is you teach them, listen, you have what it takes. You speak that. Listen, parents, speak that into your sons. You have what it takes. You are able. You're strong enough. Because that, I'll be honest, that's the question every man asks inside their own heart, is do I have what it takes? And even with, you know, single moms and all that, it can be answered. That question can be answered by other men or preferably the father, right? But it can be answered by other men. As a youth pastor for years, you have the ability to speak that into young men. Women. You have beauty. You have worth. You're worth fighting for. The core, like, of who you are and what you believe about yourself. You are beautiful. You are exactly what God made you. You are to show forth God's beauty, and you do it well. And whatever that is, right? And that question, the enemy would put that in you that you're not worth fighting for. You're just a throwaway. Oh, we won't say it, but it comes out in the way we act. It comes out low self-worth, low self-esteem. I mean, think about how rampant that is in our culture. Think about the masks that people wear to cover up their low self-esteem and their low self-worth. But not to us. Not to the believer. God has poured in His, for young men and women, like He's poured in His strength in us. He's poured in His worthiness. He, the Father, looks at me, the Son, and says, David, you have what it takes. What was the thing that Jesus said out of the cloud to Jesus as He's being baptized? This is my beloved Son. I want everybody to hear it. I want everybody to see it. And I am well pleased. Son or daughter of God, when have you ever had God speak that over your life? That God, I am God's child, and I'm well pleased. And God is well pleased with me. He's well pleased. He's well pleased with me. I have what it takes. He's well pleased. I am His son. You are His daughter. And He's well pleased with you. Like some of you just, that thought is so foreign. Because the enemy's lied. Remember, He's not the God of foolish suggestions. His job is the accuser of the brethren. This is what He does. This is His skill set, if you will, is to accuse you and lie to you. Another way that the enemy speaks lies into us is these thoughts. These random thoughts, they just come to you. Anybody like, you ever have random thoughts? please, no, I just won't be alone up here all by myself, you know? Like, I mean, you have these random thoughts, like horrible thoughts. How many of y'all are with me? You're like, you just have these random, like, these thoughts that can come to you, and those, sometimes those thoughts can do the same thing. They can stick. How about this one? Especially married people, but obviously everybody else. But how about the misinterpretation of an action that somebody else did to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
God. Yeah, welcome to the liars, the victim of liars club right here, right? Like you that, you know, your spouse or that friend, they looked at you, and it wasn't even a look. They just, you know, just like, what? And it went, and all of a sudden, you completely understood, right? Like what they were thinking and what they thought about that look that they just gave you, you know? Isn't that true? And all of a sudden, you made an assumption that that's what they believed about you. Nothing was said. Nothing was really done. But you made an assumption by that look. You made an assumption by that act. You made an assumption, but they didn't really mean what they said. Right? They didn't mean what they say. What they really meant was this. Right? And you made that assumption about that person, about your spouse, about your best friend, about that, you know. Well, when they you know what? And watch how that lie, watch how that works together. The person that was spoken and over, and you have that, maybe that low self-esteem because of words that were spoken, and you walk into a crowd of people, how do you feel about yourself? When that person looks at you, what's immediately your thought process towards that? Resignation. See, I told you nobody likes me. And that foothold gets stronger and stronger until now it's not just a toehold, it's a full-blown stronghold. That's just how you believe. I will never trust anybody ever again because everybody will lie to me. Really? That's the way you're going to live your life. And I know, listen, I'm not saying it didn't hurt. I'm not saying it wasn't painful. But let me tell you something real quick. Like when you're going through a difficult situation, be careful of the agreements that you make in those moments. Because those agreements can last you the rest of your life. And let us understand, it is a limiting thing. God wants to limit you, cause you to be less than. We talked about the Chattahoochee River. He wants to pollute you with his lies and his deception. Think about like irrational fears that come to you. Like fear can be a foothold. Fear, just irrational, like oh my gosh, maybe that's not so irrational, but my son's turning, like, he turns 16. So that means he's going to be driving by himself. Yeah, or not, maybe. That no parent, every parent has understood, right? Every parent has had that scenario go on through their head, that terrible scenario of their parent getting... There's a great commercial, if you've never seen it, of this guy, and he's leaning into the car, and it's this little girl, and she's like, ah, 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 ah. You know, she's like this little baby girl, and he's like just going, all right, now, you know, you just kind of, I guess he's supposed to be, I don't know what he's doing, but he's just kind of, hey, all right, you know, and he's like, you be careful, and she's like, ah, 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 ah. And she's like playing with a seatbelt, you know, and then he like hands her the keys to the car. And when he hands her the keys to the car, you see the reality, and it's like a 16-year-old daughter. It's not a little girl. But that's the way every parent sees their kid when they get into the car and they drive off for the first time by themselves. He was just like 7 last week, you know. But think about the irrational fears that come. Think about those thoughts that you're just like driving down the road and all of a sudden, like, maybe even, I don't know if it happens to you, but maybe like a scenario of like something crazy happens. And like, I can't stop thinking about it. You can't, you just different things and different terrible scenarios. Like, is your life like worst case scenario life? Like, I just work on worst case scenario. Right? What if things worked well for you? What if things go good for you? What if instead of, you know, my business is going to, I'm going to get fired. What if you get a promotion? What if that being fired just ended up to be a new job with a better position and God had it worked out all along? What if your life actually turned out good? What if the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the full day? What if, like, things were going to go well for you and not that negative thing that's in your head? What if those lies that have always been put into you, you're only really worth this much? What if that was a lie of the enemy? What if my income level, I'm never really going to make more than this. Really? Maybe that's what's kept you. Maybe. Did you take that to heart? Did you take that thing to your heart? The scripture says God hadn't given me a spirit of fear. The Proverbs woman says, she says, she looks at the future and she smiles at it. Right? She smiles at the future. These thoughts get stuck in our mind. And let me tell you something, if you don't take care of them, remember, this is not mental gymnastics. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The hope and the good news for you is you don't have to believe those lies anymore. That can be broken off of you. That mindset can be broken off of you. You don't have to limit yourself to your own thoughts anymore. You don't have to limit. You are not throwaway. There is something good that can happen to you. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I am more than a conqueror, right? I can do all things through Christ has given me strength. That puts away every limit that my mom, put on me, if you will. It puts away every limit. There's no open doors for you. No, 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 nope, nope, nope. The Word of God says, no weapon that's fashioned against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. That lie can be broken off of me. But I'll tell you, it doesn't come overnight. It's a weapon. Then the enemy has had that foothold. And you may need other people to help you dislodge that lie. If these thoughts aren't taken care of, they'll stay. They'll stay. These thoughts, they can... Oh my gosh, there's so much. Oh, Lord. These thoughts can come through woundedness. They can come through trauma. They can come through a death of a loved one. They can come through a breakup. They could come through a trusted friend in their woundedness. Mm-hmm. Speaking stuff over you, speaking stuff about you. Mm-hmm. In a moment of anger, somebody says something. Thump. They can come through your own woundedness. Let me listen. The devil doesn't give a rip who you are. He doesn't give a rip how old you are. He doesn't care if you're an infant. He doesn't care. Listen. You told me to preach it. I am. Listen. Take that person and hear me out of my compassion. Abused child. Physically or mentally abused child. He can set up a foothold in that child that will carry him through. Just open our eyes. We see it all the time. The life of an abused child that's never healed by the power of Jesus. grows up. Hurting people hurt people. That's how it works. And I am, listen, hear my heart in this. Abuse is evil in so many areas. But it also can provide strongholds in children that they grow up with. And if they're not dealt with, just help. Just be in the business of helping people, and you see it all the time. My mom spoke to me something when I was, this is different. My mom spoke to me something when I was 7 years old. I never quit it, never thought anything different. She was mad, she was hurt, and she said, you know, you'll never amount to anything. Well, those words stuck into somebody, right? To a child. The devil doesn't get, he didn't play by, there's no Geneva Convention rules. There's no, you know, well, you got to play fair. He doesn't play in American rules where everybody gets a trophy, right? Like, he is out to destroy your life. He is out to destroy your life. And he'll do any means, by any means necessary, through sin, through words, through whatever, to destroy you. That's why there's so many scriptures. For this reason, that Jesus came to unbind, to release, to break the captivity of those who are in bondage. For this reason, Jesus came, to break the power of the devil. And he gave his name, and he gave us his word to tell us who we are in him. To break the power of the devil. Amen? Listen, so God is calling you, listen, not to a place of weakness, not to a place of woundedness, not to a place, and now we even celebrate our woundedness.
Come on. Yeah, go there.
We even celebrate our pain. We celebrate our, it's just, you know, it's just the way I am. I just, no. God has given you the power to overcome. And every, no weapon to fashion against me, not the words of my parents, not the words of that other person, that will not prosper against me. Every tongue that rose up in condemning me will be put down in Jesus' name. Every word spoken will be broken off of me in Jesus' name. No wonder Jesus says, listen, bless and don't curse. And he's not talking about, you know, you saying the F word. He's talking about, he's talking about don't curse other people with your mouth. Pastor David like almost said the F word in church. Oh man. Okay, praise the Lord. All right. There are limiters, footholds. Here's what I want you to do. Another one of my own personal things that was broken over me, praise the Lord, is fatherlessness. So my dad died. Some of you have heard my story. My dad died when I was 16 years old. You know, right at the time, you need a good godly man figure in your life, and you're really starting to, like 16, 15, 14, 15 years, like kind of waking up to life, you know, oh, wow, there's a world, and it doesn't revolve around me. That's amazing. I need to figure this out. Like, they're going to ship me off to college or something. I need to figure it, like, about that time, all of a sudden my dad died. So I'm about to turn 50. When I was about 30 years old, I'm out in the front of my house. Watch this. I'm out in the front of my house, and we had these lights that, you know, shine on your house, whatever, landscape lights. And one of them was broken. And so I go, you know what, I'm going to go out there and try to fix it. I go out there, this is the way it happens, right? I go out there and I try to fix this light. And all of a sudden, as I'm fixing it, I break it worse. How many of you guys have ever done that? You're fixing it, I broke it worse. Well, that triggered something in me. And immediately the thought was this: where was my dad to teach me how to do these kind of things? That light went across the yard and up against a tree. And it wasn't supernatural. It was because I threw it. And may have used one of those words that, you know, I talked about not cursing, right? I don't know if I said the curse word, but I know I thought it. As I threw it, hurled it across the yard. And I remember something gripped me in that moment. And this is the phrase that changed things for me. I had the presence of mind to say, Lord, what was that? Lord, what was that? What was that all about? What was that outburst of wrath all about? What was that about? And the Lord's so good. The Holy Spirit's so great. You know what He spoke to me? He said, His Father listens, David. He goes, I'm your Father. I got you. I'll help you. I'll show you. Just invite me into that moment. I said, okay, Father. And it began a series of changing something in me. That when things happen, you react the way you didn't want to react. All of a sudden, you catch yourself with that thought. I want you to ask. You know what's great about this is? You want to have intimacy with God? Mm-hmm. Do this. Yeah. Remember Jesus, listen. Remember what Jesus said about Jesus? He's the healer of the brokenhearted. And if it doesn't mean this, I don't know what it means. He's the healer of your brokenheartedness. He's the healer of those words that were spoken over you. And He can bring healing and restoration by His voice into your life. And it can cause intimacy. And you see, like, oh, the devil, what the devil meant for evil. Oh, you just messed up your whole world, their enemy. Because now I have a closer relationship with God than I ever had before. Mm-hmm. Now God is not just my Father. He's my Father. Who cares for me and helps me. And watch this. So my wife, her love language is like acts of service. Her dad always fixed stuff, like in the house. Like they never really called anybody. Her dad was just that guy that fixed everything. She's married to a guy with wounds in his own heart about he does not have the ability to fix things and doesn't have what it takes. She's married to him. Think about the explosion that that can cause in a marriage. Now you have a guy with no ability to fulfill what my wife's greatest love language is. How does that work? Not well. He uses footholds for a place to launch his attacks to other places. In my family, in my wife, in our relationship. And my kids. But you know what? Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. Those things are going away. And moment by moment, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and not only that, by the Word of God, God speaks to me, speaks over me truth. He speaks over me. No, 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 David, that's a wrong thought. That's not what I say about you. I am His beloved, in whom He is well pleased. Through my own goodness? No. Through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus. I am well pleased with Him. Amen? Amen. Let's everybody stand. Worship team, go on to the front.